Welcome to the Visible Coaches podcast. I'm Angela Durant and you'll meet Anke Herman a little later. Between us, we have 30 years of business experience. We've started and grown our businesses from nothing but an idea, learning to play to our strengths as introverts in what often feels like an extrovert world. If you have ever felt any resistance to how others tell you you have to market yourself or bare your soul on social media just to get clients, then this podcast is for you. We know the unique challenges that introverted coaches face when it comes to selling their services. So, if you're ready to learn how to spot those golden opportunities right under your nose, clarify your message, nurture that market, and get more business coming your way, all without sacrificing your energy levels or well-being, then plug your AirPods in and let's go.
Chat, what are this topic about finding your authentic voice and creating? When I say content, it could be writing, it could be talks, it could be business message, could be everything you do from that place of authentic voice. I'm truly curious as to what you would like to get out of this today. And while you're doing that, I will let you know who I am and Anke will do the same. And then we'll go in. So I'm Angela Durant. For a good vast majority of my life, I was a professional performer and then a voice coach for 10 years. And in the voice coaching side of the business, I started to work with business owners, senior leaders in government offices like the Ministry of Defence and the NHS. And what I found really interesting around authenticity and voice, it was physical for people. It was visceral for people. It was metaphorical, metaphysical, it encompassed our identity. And my background took me from voice coaching singers through to in right the way up to senior leaders. And then my real passion is to help people to really unlock that voice in all its facets in both your life and your work. And I will say this before I pass over to Anke is, I always felt that there was a little bit of me holding back. If anybody ever felt that they hold a little bit of themselves back, particularly when it comes to business or online, if you've come from a professional background in corporate, you tend to have a corporate identity and you all slot in the box of whatever it is that your job title is. But particularly when you go out on your own, the as a service-based coach, consultant, freelancer, you very much are your business to people, as well as the skills that you do. And the ability to represent that out in the marketplace unapologetically and authentically is the reason why you will feel succeed. You will feel most fulfilled. Your business is more likely to succeed, and you will not sound as generic as everything and everybody out in the marketplace. And we're all looking for that holy grail. Fair dues, we're all looking for that holy grail. Very recently, and I've made no apology, I've decided to make no apology for this, in my about maybe at least the last 2 years, I struggled with expressing some of that online. The reason I struggled with expressing some of that online was because I had my husband was terminally ill, and I felt very challenged as to what part of my family situation I shared and what I didn't. I was very much around people that would talk about their family or show their kids online. And I've got a 17-year-old and she doesn't want me to put anything about her online. She doesn't even have anything on her Instagram. And so they felt this challenge as to how to be authentically me and represent myself while I had different situations going on. And I don't know whether anybody else has ever encountered that personally in their own life. Well, on the April the 22nd, my husband suddenly passed away. And I was thrown into a grief journey like I've never experienced anything in my life before. And I did something that I now realized was probably the best thing that I could have done, was I started to unapologetically share the grief journey. But I did it in a particular way, and I want to explain to you why I did, how I did that. I started to explain the grief journey because I knew if I didn't get that out there, I would struggle to want to even show up in the transition. And whether you're pivoting from one business to another, or types of clients to another, or a big life transition like I'm facing, there's this place of not knowing how to show up in the new version of yourself, or even what the new version of yourself even actually is. So I started to create posts around it, and they had nothing to do with business, although everyone had a story to them. When I looked at the format of them, there was a natural format coming out that everyone at the end had some level of positive move forward. There was something, it wasn't, there was the highs and the lows in there, but there was something that was uplifting towards the end of it. I started to notice this. And I think it's incredibly important when you're writing your own authentic stories that it leads people to a place where they can move on from. I think some of the stories that I see that some people go, I'm doing a vulnerable share, are simply a dump on the general public. And that doesn't necessarily help anybody. But for me, it was about describing through that narrative what I was experiencing in time, real time, in the moment, and where that was taking me and what I was discovering and learning through this process myself. Unbeknownst to me, it had an incredible impact. Lots and lots of comments consistently. Engagement went up because we all know personal journeys and personal stories do a lot better. That doesn't mean that we don't post business related things, but we're not going to get the comments on those. But for me, it was more about this finding my voice, finding my new voice, and doing that in an unapologetic way. And it was very clear from which comments were the ones that were trying to fix me. Didn't need fixing. And it was very clear from the ones that were sending hugs, or, and I had several messages from people privately to say, I'm following your journey. I'm following what's actually going on. And in doing so, I started to see that we're all silent scrollers. We're all silent watchers. Some people will comment that will never be a type of client. Other people, it draws out of the woodwork. But the amount of people that started to say to me, I saw my own situation in this, even though it wasn't yours. And so there was, by giving myself permission to share in that way and find my own nuanced approach to writing, it became very unique content, probably more unique than I had written before. So I wanted to just, I didn't complain, but I wanted to share that and how I've come to this place. And even today, I'll share as we go along, but I'll share a conversation with a client this morning about how that unique part of us, that identity, often the bit that we are most ashamed to share, if we can transform that into place of an unapologetic ability to show up wholeheartedly to the table, not being afraid of who is interested or not in us, because we're bringing our whole selves to the table, you will find that you become less afraid of what it is that you want to and need to say as part of your business. And the way I look at it now is the finding my voice and my identity in this next space, it needs both compassion and it needs commitment and it needs a lot of courage. But anybody that isn't appreciative of the whole of me doesn't deserve a seat at my table. We spend a whole lot of time turning ourselves into pretzels to try and write things that we think people will make people buy from us. One of the biggest things that people say to me is, how do I describe what I do so that somebody will get it and buy from me? And that's missing out. That's trying to leap across the Grand Canyon, missing out how the heck we're actually going to get there in the first place and what it is that people are even buying into in the first place. So I'm going to pause a moment. I'm going to let Anka introduce herself and also come on the back of what I've just said as to her experience helping entrepreneurs and solopreneurs build online businesses and presences and the things that she's noticed around authentic voice as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, for anybody who hasn't stumbled across me, I'm Anke Herrmann from Germany, originally based in the lovely sound of the south of Spain. And I moved here a little over 20 years ago. And that's when I started my first business. And literally with this idea of, let's just see what happens. That was literally my business plan. And I've sort of gone with it and got myself into massive trouble because I built myself a relentless hamster wheel. And I learned a really crucial lesson in that is like relevant to what we're talking about, because what I got to see was that I was so used to saying yes to what my dancer clients asked of me, because I made flamenco dance costumes, and said yes to everything because I was convinced, like, you know, this is a small world, and when I say no to stuff they want me to do, then they will be peeved off and not come back and badmouth me, and I'm going to be hungry in the street within a month. And I operated under that assumption for about 8 years. Call me masochist. But when I got to the point that I was like, look, I'm done with this. I had it. I will not do this anymore. And started to say no to things. I learned one thing that has always stayed with me ever since. Like, the reaction was nothing like what I thought I knew for sure. Like, I was so sure if I said, like, no, can't do this, they'd be like, well, but you said, and this and this, and I expected to be told off and sent to go to hell. And what happened was, I'll come on Monday, that's easier anyway. So I got to see that I have no way of knowing who's going to be upset, who's going to resonate with something, who's going to badmouth me, because I've had two that, even though I've bent over backwards to basically give people what they wanted, there was still somebody there who talked whatever. So I got to see that the best thing I can do is say what I want, say what I need, say what's on my heart, because every second I spend trying to guess what somebody else is thinking or how somebody else might react, that's a waste of a second, right? And that was even true with the people I knew, where I thought I knew for sure how they were going to react. Like, even there, it wasn't true, right? So now take that into the online space where you create content where you don't even know who's going to read it. It's almost like, who are you to think you're going to know how somebody reacts? So trying to filter what you say through the lens of, let me make sure I'm not annoying anybody, is definitely a recipe for stress and overwhelm and procrastination, probably, because you're going to realize, like, you have no way of knowing for sure whether it's the right thing, so you're not end up saying anything. Right. And the other piece that I've learned over the years that I feel that's really helping me speak and say what I want to say is that my job isn't to convince the people who think I'm an idiot. Like, my job is to speak to the people who need my help, who want my help, who get where I'm coming from. Like, they're the ones I'm writing for. They're the ones I create content for. They're the ones I'm talking to, and everybody else. It's almost like the more blunt and direct I am, the quicker they have a chance to filter themselves out, which is kind of better for everyone. So I think it's one of those things, as once you start, and people, as you're saying, Angela, like, I've had this experience too, when you share something, especially when things, it isn't all like, oh, I just kind of followed some formula and now I made six figures and now I'm zipping piña colada on beach all day. Like, when you actually share where something isn't quite going the way you thought, or maybe you got what you wanted, but it didn't turn out to be what you thought it would be, and all these other parts of the journey that are inevitable, when you actually share those, people go, oh my God, I'm so glad it's not just me. Like, it really allows people to connect with you on a level that you wouldn't ever achieve otherwise. So, yeah, that's all I've got to say to you.
That's okay. Thank you, Anchor. So there's one thing I want to just come in at, and I've just been having a look down the comments. I'm going to come straight into some of the almost like questions that are kind of in comments in there as well. And then we're going to open it up on the floor. This is your chance to dive into some of the things that have been really holding you back as far as this is, and get some insight into that. Is there's often a real confusion, and it feels complex to decide, do speak your truth regardless, or do you match that, or do you try and write copywriting that seems to speak to your ideal client? Because you will find enormous amounts of programs and narrative around what to say to make people, you know, buy from you, basically, you know. So I think for me, if we look at this topic of ideal client and writing content that actually resonates with your ideal client, it's a little bit like a chicken and the egg. Because If you haven't yet worked out which industry or where your skills align best with the marketplace, sometimes it can take a while for that authentic voice in you to try and find itself. And that's okay. Sometimes we have to kiss a few frogs to find the prince, as it were. If we stay long enough in that space and not get disheartened, we can start to sift and we can sort what we like, what we don't, what themes come up time and time again, the things that we enjoy speaking about and teaching, or that other people come to us for. That sometimes we can be in the thick of it, as it were, and discover that as we go along and refine suitably. There also comes a point where you start to realize that potentially we might be leaving part of us off the table. We might be doing good work, but not what I call the best work, not our calling, not the thing that is going to give us that next level of motivation to create those different leaps, or to create what people would, in I suppose marketing terms, called a brand identity, which I don't think can often come first for many people until they really do a little bit of validation and sifting and sorting. But I do think that I've experienced is there comes a time where we feel as if we've done good work, but we're leaving part of us off the table. And that is the time to really start to begin to the depth of your identity and the core things that are coming through, the thing that you feel compelled almost to teach and to talk on all of the time, and to become more known for your opinion, I suppose, a little thought leadership, but to become known for that opinion. And I think sometimes it takes different situations to knock us into that. Hopefully not the death of your husband, but it takes what it takes on each of us to knock us into different situations. So I'm not scared of the experience. There's a philosopher called Cindy Banks. He said, if you are not afraid of your experience, that alone will change your world. And the idea is that we spend an awful lot of time afraid and dancing around trying to say things that do not offend people so that we will have money and a business and clients. And the thing is, in our industry, majority of people here, it's not about not being professional. It's about being yourself wholeheartedly and attracting the next type of people that can actually hold the container and you them for the next evolution of where that voice is going. Otherwise, it's just frustration. So I'm going to come to the comments here. I'm going to open it up and we're going to spend the rest of the time. You are going to talk to us and we're going to talk to you rather than just listen. I hope that's given you a little bit of food for thought, but we're going to just dive in. I'm going to open this up as a bit of a clinic, as it were, to help you make a shift in something around this area that might have just felt a sticking point for you. So I can see here, if I can get into the comments, Bryn's put, connecting to your ideal client is how we find each other. And I'll say is, yes, it's like a response thing, But sometimes I often think that response starts with you feeling into your own sense of where, who, in which area, where do I feel that I'm drawn to? What do I feel most drawn to? Sometimes, Anchor, you know this, but I have a lot of times people will say to us, I'm going to go into corporate, or I'm going to go from here into corporate. And I go, why? And there's no real understanding as why, not always. Often they think it's more money, or they're struggling with the message they've got right now, and it's not aligning and people are not getting it. So they will often try and dip into another industry, thinking that if I go somewhere else, it's going to be easier to have my voice. No. It's also a lot harder to get paid there for a lot of people. It takes a longer time. So I think there is this space of you, and there is the space of seeing that in context of what's out there. Where's the mirror coming back to you of what it is? But for me, finding your voice and having the courage to actually create the content, for me, I think it has to start with you. Because if we've got this, if we've developed this need to try and say things so that people will respond to it, then we're not our authentic voice. Doesn't mean we're not mindful of what people pay attention to, but we cannot be writing things in such a censored way that we think, well, I won't put that down in case somebody doesn't like it. Monique, it's a topic I'm diving deeper on. What is your definition of your voice? Well, Monique, if you're open to either taking yourself off mute, you can stay. If you don't want to come on, you can do that. We'll come to you, Anne, in a second. But my definition of your voice is it's multifaceted. It's your physical voice. It's your presence through your voice. It's your communication that can be written, that can be spoken. But your voice is your everything from your values, filtered right the way down to how you deliver it, is your voice, which is why we struggle with it, because it's multi-layered to me. I love the background, Monique. It makes me feel as if I want to be where you are.
Well, I am in a tropical place, so that's true. But the thing is, I'm confused by what you're saying, not about the definition, but in general, because you say, well, we have to speak our truth, and I 100% agree with that. But the thing is, if you speak about yourself, I mean, it's not about you, right? Although, it's also about you. You understand what I mean?
Oh, I do.
But the thing is, if other people don't get what you are saying, or if they see the benefit of it, or the benefit of what you teach, or the benefit of who you are, I mean, it's great to be admired, but if it doesn't bring you any clients. Well, what the heck? And I agree.
I was going to say yes and no. So this is exactly the problem, isn't it, Anchor? It's like, this is exactly the problem. I'm so glad you brought it up, Monique, because this is the biggest place that is, well, what do you know? Great, I can talk about myself, but that doesn't mean somebody's going to buy from me. Okay, absolutely.
Exactly. No. Yeah.
Absolutely. But that, to me, is that's a simple misunderstanding between the type of language that we communicate with that explains more deeply to people how we work, who we are, what our offer is. And that language is meant to be at the level of the people, their own situation and what they're wanting.
Yes. Yeah.
That to me is that's a different part of voice than identity. It's part of identity. It's like, imagine this being like a spiral. If we have one spiral and it starts here and it goes round and round and round, at any point that we can find that spiral, it's a part of that identity. But if you carry on, that whole thing weaves more and more and more. It's a part of voice, and it's a crucial one. And so if the bit that's going to make sense to you is, well, how do I marry up what I want to say about myself with the kind of things that are going to appeal to people? To some degree, on a personal level, you are going to look at your personal experience, your skills background, how that relates to the type of people that you have decided to help. And your words and your narrative are going to build the bridge so that people understand that you do have experience, that you are not a novice at the game, that you can help people, that you have had good results for people. So our job in that part of our voice, authentic voice, is to not play down our skills, not to play down our experience, not overly big them up at the same time. But if I was going to do anything, I'd big them up rather than play them down. Many women play down their experience. Many women do not fully own their skills, their experience, and then put that into a narrative that is compelling enough for people to buy into and believe. So, that's one part of it for me. So it goes to both self-belief, and it also goes towards, which Anka and I talk about all the time, which is skills. The actual skills of being able to take that and write it or talk about it in a way that other people say, okay, I believe that you're the real deal, and I believe that you had these results that you say. So there is both a core self-belief thing and a consciousness and awareness of how to then turn that into the kind of narrative, copywriting, etc., that people are going to do. And there's plenty of stuff out there, because if we just Googled right now how to write compelling content, you would get a million things come up on Google, and they'd all be pretty true. They'd all be pretty true. Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's not the tactic that's the problem, what is it?
Well, I use the same story for women who want to become financially free. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you can Google how to become financially independent, get the formula, but still you're not financially independent. So oftentimes the emotion and the skill are missing.
Right. But why then? To my point is, there's something then about you, Monique, that the people that want to be around you, there's something about you, the way you are, the way you be, the way you speak, your background, the affinity that will attract certain people and it will not attract some others. And our goal is to find that. And the only way sometimes to find that is to start to own the whole journey without self-censoring it. In that respect, Anka, I want to just bring you in here.
Yeah, no, I just want to add a couple of things that kind of sparked. It's like the separation between being authentic and personal story. Like, you can be massively authentic and not share anything or not talk about yourself at all. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like, I think a lot of the time it's there's that, like, as if they merge, as if being authentic involves sharing personal stuff. They can be very powerful, but you don't have to, right? I don't know. Well, you know, at the end of the day, there's always the sense, like, okay, what's the, I always look at it like a lawyer, like, what's the point I'm making here? What is it that I want people to walk away with? What do I, like, where do I want to, how do I want to mess with their thinking? What is it that I want to say to someone? Right? And then I'm going to go, okay, which story am I going to use to illustrate that? And sometimes it can be one of mine. And sometimes I'm going to, you know, I love my little ruffle stories, like sewing business stories, because, like, most of my toughest business lessons I learned there in the lovely world of theater and dance costumes and stuff. But not always, right? Sometimes it's like, I love a good rant. And that's like, sometimes, like, what do I stand for? What do I just stand it, what it just does my head in when people do that. And these kind of things are quite powerful when you kind of really say what you like. My favorite one is like, I have a not love hate, I hate hate relationship with proven success formulas because they mess with people's thinking. It's controversial. People will kind of push back, and I'm like, yeah, I can defend my case. I know what I'm trying to say, but it's like, and it doesn't involve anything, any of my personal things. It doesn't have to. But I think one thing that I've seen when I looked back at content that I've created maybe 3-4 years ago, where I really like, oh, I really see now where I missed the point at the time. It was like, I started off with a great story. Like, I love a good story. So I started off with a great story. And then it was like, oh, what do you think? And I was like, oh, it's just kind of like totally leave people hanging there. Right. So whereas like now it's like, okay, the whole like somebody else will only be interested in the story if there's somehow they feel it's relevant to them. So yeah, I can talk about sewing business all I want, you know, unless, and sometimes the connection is obvious. So it's like, that's my job. And that's what I didn't do 3-4 years ago. I'd have the story and then I'd be like, I'd rely on people making that connection, but people don't. Like, we get so much stuff past us that you don't. So it's like, no, this is my job to kind of create that bridge to say like, this is the thing, here's my little rant, this is what I want to say. And this is why this is worth your time paying attention to it. This is what that means for you. And that's where that makes all the difference in engagement and in how people are responding.
I love that.
Does that make sense, Monique?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But I have this, I'm doing this already. So it's, so, I recognize it.
Yeah. Is there an area that you feel that either you don't feel your authentic voice is in there, or do you feel that there is a disconnect between what you're saying and what people respond to?
Well, what I see and what I experience is when I pour my heart out, so to say, in a post, and it's very personal and oftentimes very vulnerable, I get a lot of traction with the post, and you see the difference between or when I tell a story when I had a potential client, you know, how they act, and I make the bridge between how they act and what they truly need. So for me, it's like, well, I don't know. I have the feeling that if I keep on telling stories when I pour my heart out, so to say, that people are going to be like, yeah, now I know about her, you know, tell me something else. Or that people, because every experience I have in my life that hits me hit home, I share that just like you. I mean, I had a recently, I'm in Playa del Carmen in Mexico, and I had an accident with an e-scooter, and it was horrible. I broke my arm in two places, broke my teeth, and I share that because there's also a story behind it. There's also something that I can relate to what I teach, right? But I want, the point is, and this is for me the danger of telling personal stories, that people react on what I've been through instead of getting the message.
So the way around this, Monique, is not everyone is for you, and you are not for everyone.
No, that's true.
When you put a story out, I think what I'm seeing here is there doesn't seem to be a great deal to be afraid of here, unless we want to, you know, unless we are already making a story. We're all subject to an algorithm that changes all the time that we have zero control over. It is designed, the algorithm is designed to keep people on the platform and to keep people engaging. So you've got to work with this thing. It's like a lot of things. You have to work with it rather than against it. There are times when you want more traction, so that maybe polls or personal stories, as Anchor said, is what I do, where you turn around and you say, and this is what I want you to get from the story. You don't leave it up to people to decide. They're going to get what they get from it. But at least as far as you're concerned, you can say, this is almost like the reason I'm writing this is this, and I want you to know this. Okay?
Yeah.
And there are times when you will just put a normal post out that will not get the traction. It might be a more sales. It might be to a workshop. It might be to such and such. It doesn't mean that people aren't seeing it. They're often lurkers. And I have recently, funny enough, I had recently hired a financial advisor that I had been watching online for over a year. But it wasn't until the need was there or my husband was there. But because she put a particular post out about I'm non-judgmental, and it was the culmination of nearly a year. And I've never seen her in any other context other than online. So we're always going to be subject to some people are going to watch us for a year. Other people are going to watch us for a couple of days or a couple of months. Okay.
There is
the importance of actually writing a variety of things. And then when you have a story, you say, well, I don't want to keep saying this story. Well, no, not like you've just said it. What other point can you pull out of it? How can you repurpose the same story in a different way? People will forget. It's just that because we're the ones that are remembering, we are assuming that everybody else remembers at the same time, and they don't.
True. Yeah, that's
they are busy. They have busy lives. People are not sitting there waiting. The only time people are sort of waiting is like they're kind of going, oh, I'm waiting for the next of your story. But every story that I put out is complete in itself. I'm not doing a part one or a part two or a part three. It's complete in and of itself with the journey that I'm taking through that story and the outcome that I want people to take from it. And so, because everything now, if you look at your feed, you will find that people are still commenting on stories a week later because the way that it's working is things are getting dripped to people at a completely different rate.
Yes.
So many times we're the ones getting insecure. But if we look at what's happening, if we look at the data, if we look at who's seeing what and when people comment, we will notice certain patterns that potentially the people that are interested in the things that we're writing will fall into. Your job is to be observant and recognize that so that you can feel. The thing for me is if somebody is holding back because they're not saying truth or they're only writing things around messaging that they think somebody else has seen them, or they're writing solely from AI and they're feeling as if there's a disconnect between who they are and what they're actually saying, what they do at the same time. That's where I think that becomes harder. Does that help you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okie dokie. Right. Just before, I will just take one more question, then I'm going to... And then I've got something to say, but I'll take another question first. So let's just go down the list here. Monique, then Irene, working to build my understanding about messaging so I can serve my clients better and have a desirable outcome to the AI-generated content. Yes, Irene is in our membership, the Visible Club, which is a 12-month community membership. We love supporting freelancers, solopreneurs, coaches, consultants to make daily progress in what they're doing. And I know we spoke to Irene the other day around this thing, but actually the same thing, isn't it? We can get really caught up in believing that everybody, you know, Irene's a writer, a great copywriter in the healthcare industry. So if you know anybody in the healthcare industry, big companies, go and speak to Irene. But that bit where we think we're competing against somebody else's better copywriting, somebody, an AI generated thing, who, you know, just put your hands up for a second. If you can tell when you're looking in the feed of people now, if you can tell some AI generated things, can anybody tell me? Can you tell them? They've often got lots of hashtag, you know, little sort of emojis next to them. They've often got way too much information on them. Anybody else can tell if there's a bit of AI content? We're starting to see it, aren't we? You're not stupid. You're starting to notice. this. Now, does it mean that we don't use AI? I love using AI, but I use it as a creative bounce off, or I use it as an ideas generator. I'm not going to copy and paste things that I have not filtered through my own unique expression and understanding and intelligence at the same time. Okay. But it's like anything, isn't it? Something comes in and then it's like Ugg boots. Everybody's got, you know, and he's got them, you know, or something else becomes the fast trend and everybody else is jumping on it. So I'm going to go down to Alex's. Hang on, I'm calling in from Nottingham. Hello, Nottingham. This is the topic that I really struggle with and would like to get better at. Do you feel brave enough to unmute and help us to help you?
Yeah, I can. You just have to excuse it if you hear background noise. My children are at home today. Yeah, I think I think like you said at the beginning, I think I came from a very corporate background, and I think the barriers that were around me there and the corporate lines that we towed and the messaging that was almost dictated to send out, I think I still really struggle to overcome that. I think that it's and I know you talked about kind of personal versus authentic, but I think just adding in that personal touch again, I just have this barrier that I really struggle to push through. And I think listening to you and kind of hearing you talk definitely has helped already, just in terms of trying to use the storytelling more than necessarily the personal details. But yeah, it's just a massive barrier for me that I really need to power through, I think.
I don't think anything needs powering through, number one. I think, you know, well, maybe occasionally, you know what I mean, maybe my garden or something. But, you know, I don't think this needs powering through, because what can happen sometimes is we can feel motivated one day and unmotivated next. And then we become kind of inconsistent, and then we have a vulnerability hangover, and then we kind of go crawling in a corner or something. I'm going to come in on the back of this. Anka, do you want to answer Alexis first? And then I'm going to kind of come in with something on the back of it, because I know that you'll be hearing something in there or have a question.
The first thing that jumps to mind is that, like, it's we're so worried about what people will think. Like, and I'm like, yeah, well, yeah. And I, like, for years, I wouldn't post on my Facebook profile because I was always worried that, you know, when I was moving into coaching, I always think like, ooh, you know, next thing I'll have like DMs from my dancer clients, like, oh, so you can't finish the dress, but you tinker around on Facebook, right? Well, nobody ever messaged me. And the other piece that I think people will, I think you kind of have to see it until you really understand this. It's like the problem is what people think. It's like getting even anybody to pay attention at all, like almost like the thing that somebody might think something bad about you, like that's not like that's a luxury problem to have. Like most of the time, and you were saying before, Angela, with the erratic algorithms, right? It's like you post something and there's this like, oh my God, are they going to see it? And they've already seen it, whatever. Most people never get to see the stuff you post. And if they do, it probably doesn't register. And if it registers once, they kind of can't remember 10 minutes later. So it's almost like if you kind of remember that, you have this like free reign of just saying whatever you want to say, because chances are like not too many people even, you know, that's not the problem, right? So, and I remember the first time I really saw that was when I hosted my first little summit. And I felt that I had promoted the life out of this thing, right? It was like, I was very passionate about it. I felt I had for 3 weeks flat, I hadn't talked about anything else. I'm like ad nauseum. I was like, people are going to be so sick of it. And literally the day the summit doors closed, somebody in my community who I knew personally, in my group, on my email list, she goes, oh, what's that audience thing? I can't believe I missed it, you know? And I'm like, I can't believe it, right? It felt like, and there were like people saying, oh, and I had people getting to later because they didn't see it and it didn't register. And then funny enough, 6 months later, I looked at trying to repurpose content. I'm like, I only posted 5 times. Like I felt that I had inundated the internet with this stuff. And then when I looked at what was there practically, it wasn't that much to start with. And most of that actually went unnoticed, right? So it's kind of like much less of a concern than it feels when you kind of have that sense hit publish on something that's public and it feels like you're now vulnerable to the judgment of the entire world.
Does that answer part of that, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think I know that. I think, mm-hmm. I suppose I hate to be the centre of attention. I suppose on social media, your profile is your world, isn't it? And you are the centre of that. So I guess that is part of my personal challenge, is the confidence thing, I guess, to just put something out there. And yeah, I think like you say.
So let me help.
And maybe you can arrange an accident, because I remember the first time I went live. No, I unleashed after an accident, right? I used to go live in my little Facebook group, right? And I'd go live in my Facebook group and I was quite happy doing that, you know. And one day I go live and I talk about some whatever, and all of a sudden I see somebody saying hello. And I remember you could see in the video.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize you were in this group. Like, there was literally a couple of people coming on where I thought, like, and then it dawned on me, you can see it on the face. Like, it dawned on me that I had by accident gone live on my personal profile. You know, and it was like, oh my God, this was like the thing that I had been dreading for so long, you know, and all of a sudden it happened. And then it was like, oh, I'm still alive. Like, nobody, you know, like nothing happened, you know. And I think I've gone live on my profile ever since. Like, it's kind of like, I think it's like having the, like, because know it rationally is one thing, you know, but then I think,
you know, I just want to talk into the pivot bit from being in corporate to being your own, going out as an entrepreneur or a solopreneur. When we work for somebody else and we're under their brand identity and we have to represent them, we have a uniform, it's all designed to be not about us. And I think it plays a little bit into what Monique was saying, where it's like, okay, it's a bit like saying, you know, do what you love and the money will come. And that's part, and there's some level of truth in there, but if it was the whole truth, then everybody would have money. So it's that, so, and that's not truth, because there's a matrix involved here. There's your greatest passion and your authentic self and the thing that you know that you want to bring out into the world, do, stand for, help people with. And there's a marketplace that has a need, and our ability to actually create the bridge in our communication to share with people that we can help them meet that need or give them that skill, etc. That's our job in messaging. Our job is to bridge the gap. So first of all, we have to know what we are and who we are. And sometimes there's a journey for people to take with that, as it were, where we're not holding parts of ourselves, out of the equation. I had a client this morning, and we're working on her message. We're working on her ideal, you know, on actually shifting, pivoting her clients and creating new offers at new price points, etc. And there's one thing that I have had where I've seen the mistake in people is when we've created a new strategy for people that is fairly not difficult to go out and start to implement in reality, but they've sabotaged it and pulled themselves right back to where they were, because the fundamental thing never shifted, even if they shifted their price point or their offers or they went on a course or they created 90 million reels or whatever it was they thought they needed to do next to get more clients. The thing that hadn't shifted, the thing they hadn't given themselves permission to do, was shift the identity of owning and believing in their skill set that it could meet the needs, and then learning how to communicate that. So the quick example is this morning, quite by chance, she had an acting background. And quite by chance, she said about it, I don't really, she retrained to be a therapist. So she had a list of qualifications as long as your arm. She said, yeah, but I often don't really say of my acting background to people because I don't want people to think it's a bit shallow or fake. I knew immediately that she was not owning a part of her story. And this was one of the reasons why she was sabotaging her next level. When I pulled the two and two together, the work that I had to give her this week to do was actually rewriting the story as to why that was a fundamental reason why the people that she was going to help the most would be attracted to her and not attracted. We all have this little part of us that we're trying to hold back as if we've got a bit of a shame story going on the inside. And we want to show out to the world with all of this niceness. And we do our copywriting courses and we learn how to, you know, rightly so, connect to our, you know, connect the narrative, talk to people about their aspirations, meet them at the point that they're at with our communication. But fundamentally, if we've got part of us that we are not bringing out and then learning how to actually communicate the narrative with a bit of skill, then we will simply stay at the level we're at because we will find that there is an energetic thing that we are not bringing in our voice to the table. And until she decided to see, or until she could see that place where there was a part of her that she was disowning, because and so she would go for more qualifications, more skills. She thought other people, because they had a psychotherapy background, were more likely to get better clients from her. It was so subtle that until it came out in language, couldn't fix it, give her the new bit of work to do, and then we can actually start to look at where in the market her offers and her skills and her thing are actually going to go next. That is an example just from this morning of how important understanding the layers of your voice. Monique came with a great question, kind of like, yeah, but. And I'm like, you are absolutely right. It's absolutely right. We have to have that voice in the marketplace to with an affinity and the kind of content that comes from that. But if it doesn't come from us first, owning every skill and being able to then turn that into the communication, we're always going to be playing dancing bears and running around creating reels that don't count. So what I want to say to you is, just as we're coming to a close, is I'd love to take this conversation deeper with you. If you think that we can help you to actually create, go into this topic a little bit deeper, I'd love to offer you a complimentary conversation. It'll be with me. I do all of the work on identity and voice, etc., on there. And if I can offer you some clarity that's help you move forward, then I want to do that. There's an opportunity in the chat. We're just going to put a link to my diary. It's not a sales call. Is that all right? Not a sales call. It is a chance to actually get and find out what we do, find out what you do, and also help you move forward and to take this topic deeper. The thing that I would love to avoid for most of the people I end up speaking to, I don't want to be in the situation, which I am a lot, where people go, I wish I'd have met you sooner. I wish I'd have spoken to you sooner because I went and bought X program. I went and did this tactical program. I went and did this and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't work until we actually discover our authentic voice. What are the core pillars of that, the narrative, what we're standing for, and then how we are going to align that to a marketplace that has a problem that we can solve now with an offer that they are willing to pay for and that we want to do the work for. And that matrix, I will talk you through in that clarity session. I will talk you through the message matrix, how it works, so that you can see where there's any gaps for you. Okay, on that note, it has been great to see you. We will get the replay out tomorrow. And we look forward to our next topic next week, which is, where are your ideal clients hanging out? ? How on earth do we find them? So once you've got your ideal voice going, where the heck are those people hanging out? So that's our topic for next week's Message and Momentum. We look forward to seeing you then. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Visible Coaches podcast. If you've ever felt the pressure to market yourself in ways that don't align with your true nature, this podcast is your sanctuary. If you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, make sure to subscribe to the Visible Coaches podcast on your favorite platform. And we would really be grateful if you could leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us and it helps us reach more introverted coaches like you. Visit thevisiblecoachespodcast.com now. That's
thevisiblecoachespodcast.com. Let's continue to embrace our introverted strengths, create meaningful connections, and make waves in the coaching world. Until next time.